The next item on the agenda, Mr. Grist, would be the request from the Charter Boat Association to revamp the licensing requirements and guidelines for recreational fishing in Virginia.
Yes, sir. It's a discussion item today. We'll just give you all a brief little update. Virginia Charter Boat Association recently sent in a letter with a lot of concerns about the existing and growing license inequities between Virginia and Maryland on our recreational fisheries. Currently, Maryland charter boat vessels have open access to the Virginia fishing grounds, and they can do so by purchasing a Virginia license of any kind, and this is part of our license reciprocity agreement with Maryland, which specifies that all Maryland recreational fishing licenses are valid in Virginia. Now, many of you, if you watch the striped bass fishery, especially during the winter, you know that a lot of Maryland vessels are here, and that's part of this agreement. They can come down freely and participate in our open striped bass fishery in the winter, but they're also competing directly with our Virginia charter boats for dock space and customers. So that's a problem, because when Maryland's fishery is open, our charter boat operators don't get that same pass to come into Maryland waters. Maryland has a limited entry system. It was started back in the early 1990s, and at that time, a few Virginia charter boats were grandfathered in. A few years later, during the Warner administration, Secretary of Natural Resources, then Taylor Murphy, he was successful in convincing Maryland to reopen the fishery to a limited number of Virginia watermen. However, striped bass fishery obviously is increasing, as is some other fisheries here in Virginia, and there is a lot of inequity. Oh, I can't get that word out.
Inequity.
That was a good lunch. Anyway, it is still existing, and it's growing, and that's very noticeable with our charter boat fleet. Of course, we're all aware of the increases of fuel prices and everything, and that is hitting them pretty hard. So any opportunity they have to increase their business, we definitely want to support. Clearly, the situation, as they expressed, is a problem. To address the situation, the Charter Boat Association requests three actions, which we'll go over briefly. One, they wanted to repeal the current license reciprocity agreement. Now, the current agreement provides that all Maryland and Potomac River Fisheries Commission recreational licenses are valid here in Virginia, which we've stated, and the commissioner by law is authorized to enter into these reciprocal agreements. Therefore, the existing agreement could be repealed by his action. They also suggested an imposition of higher license fees for non-residents. The imposition of a higher license fee for non-residents, on the other hand, would be basically require legislative action. It's not an action of this body. One third suggestion that came out of the Charter Boat Association was the establishment of a limited access program for Virginia charter boat fisheries. Now, the code authorizes the commission through the regulatory process to establish a guide license and to limit access to that license, just as Maryland has done. Developing such a program would take substantial staff time, though, and that may not be immediately available considering all the work we're currently doing with the Blue Crab Management Program and what's upcoming during this next year. The Charter Boat Association definitely would prefer a return to the open access to Maryland waters. Actually, it would solve a lot of problems right away. Now, up until when this was written, given the past history of this issue, it was unlikely that Maryland would reopen the fishery. But we have been keeping Maryland DNR in the loop on this and talking with them and forwarding some of the letters up there. And just very recently, Tom O'Connell, who is currently the head of Maryland DNR, has spoken back with staff, give Jack a call, and is willing to come down, meet with staff, possibly others, and discuss this item and try and resolve it. They realize it is an issue, and they actually want to work with us to resolve it. So that is a positive thing that's come back from Maryland. So right now what we suggest from staff is we're going to take this issue forward to FMAC, but before we even get to FMAC, we want to take the recreational component of FMAC, grab a few others from charter boat industry, bait and tackle shops and such, and talk to them about this issue. Get a kind of a group consensus of how to go forward from there, and then go to FMAC. Now, in the meantime, we may also have meetings with Maryland DNR that resolves this completely, but we do want to go ahead and start the process and go forward. There is one other item that we also plan on talking with this group about that will also eventually go to FMAC. It's a related topic involving the National Marine Fisheries Service. Many of you may be aware they just proposed a rule to establish a national angler registry. The purpose of the registry is to improve the quality of catch and effort estimates, which we all know we've had some issues with at MRFs. For the fishery, establish a phone directory. They want to use the phone directory as the basis for their basically their phone surveys. So if they get everyone registered, that's the phone book for them to use who they're going to call. These are actual fishermen, not random selection. Those states that do not have a saltwater license will have to be part of this program, and some states still don't have a license. Virginia does. We are not mandated to be part of it. However, some of our licenses, our blanket licenses, are problems. Our private boat, recreational pier, and rental boat licenses do not conform to the standards as put forth from the National Registry. Those would have to be altered to meet the standard. If not, what the National Registry would mean is all those individuals would still have to buy the federal license in addition to the state license. Simply put, if we're going to have that go on, why not have the money come back to the state coffers and not go to the federal coffers? But that's a major problem. They're implementing this by 2011, so it's coming. It's going to happen, and we have the opportunity to at least discuss this and see if we want to alter the way we do business and pass it up through the legislative action or let the National Registry take control.
I've advocated this before, and I'm going to stick to it until somebody shows or proves me otherwise. There's a mechanism in place that the Game Department uses involving wildlife or wild waterfowl hunting through the Hunter Identification Program. Doesn't cost a dime. Computer access that you have now, the onus is on the individual to basically go out and get that. So the technology is in place where this can be accomplished without a whole heck of a lot of problem. I don't know what's the difference between identifying yourself as a fisherman or registering yourself as a hunter, but that HIP program is a pretty good deal. Yeah. You go online, it asks you a few questions, it asks you to cross-reference the license that you may have or if you don't have one, and then at the end of the year you get a survey. If they want to independently survey through that method, they can do that. So it works very, very well with the Game Department in this issue about whether we go to a federal license, whether we go to state license. I think we've got a pretty good licensing system in the Commonwealth of Virginia. As a matter of fact, it's one of the fairest license systems, I think, going. So I want to make sure that we stay, if we can, it would be my prerogative to stay on track, to at least continue to examine that avenue unless something changes. Mr. Chick, do you have a question or comment?
In addition to that, I think that some direct correspondence, if it hasn't already happened, with Maryland, Potomac River, Delaware, and I guess has North Carolina brought in a boat license also?
We're going to talk about that next.
Yeah, because I just think it is absolutely appalling that the federal government wants to subject, you know, their will on a system that works good.
Very seldom do I come to the defense of my federal partners. But at this juncture, I'm not so sure that it's as much that they want to impose a specific onerous will as much as they realize at this juncture that some of the data that we've been getting from the recreational fishing surveys is garbage. Be quite honest with you. And I think that they've been mandated to come up with a program, and as we know, sometimes the road to heaven is paved with good intentions. And we just need to manage it from a state. I think the best thing for us to do from the state or Commonwealth is to continue to try to drive this cart the best we possibly can and come up with our ideas versus having it shoved down our throats at the end of 2002.
And the other idea is to use the way charter boats are handled, and you know, a captain of a private vessel knows who fishes and what they catch just as well as a charter captain does, and I to understand that the federal government hasn't been willing to understand that fact.
Sometimes it takes a while. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think one of the most difficult practical changes here is the fact that Virginia has a boat license for its recreational saltwater license, which greatly facilitates compliance. And yet the survey design hadn't been able to accommodate that type of exemption. some states don't have that. North Carolina, for example, doesn't have that type of exemption. But I think it's unfortunate that the survey design hadn't been able to accommodate that, and I think that's one of the practical difficulties we face. You know, if we're gonna bring our system into compliance with the federal requirements, we're gonna have to give up some of those exemptions. So,
yeah.
But I do note in here that the comments will be taken until August the 11th. So, I don't know if you had proposed any official correspondence, but certainly the agency could send additional comments prior to that period.
Jim, why don't you, I'm sorry, Mr. Fox?
Excuse me, go ahead.
I was going to say, basically, you heard what we've had to say as far as our concerns of maintaining states' rights in an attempt to accomplish what the federal government is setting out to do, but we would rather be the ones in charge of at least being continuously at the table and maybe driving the force. And I advocated, quite honestly, this FIP program when it first came up in San Diego 2 years ago. Delaware has stolen the idea and is proceeding with utilizing that procedure in lieu of adopting a license, as I understood from a report at the Potomac River Fisheries Commission meeting. So let's see what we can do along that line.
We'll include this in the discussion with the REC group and come back with suggestions.
And for what it's worth, you did mention the discussions with Maryland DNR. We're having very good, productive discussions on a number of fronts with Maryland DNR at the present time. I've got no reason to believe at this juncture that something can't be worked out that is equitable. On the other hand, while we're looking at everything, I would like the group to, and Sonia already has the information because I've asked for it, is to look at the applicability and equity of the licensing structure of those residents from the state of North Carolina that come to fish in the Commonwealth of Virginia versus the citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia that go to fish in North Carolina. I spent a little time down there, and I tend to notice that the prices that we pay down there versus what they pay up here, this is why we've got 90% of North Carolina vessels today, I would bet, if we send out to do a survey at Leeward Marina. I'm not asking, in all honesty,
two bridges, yes.
I'm not asking for any more. I just want it to be equitable. And at the present time, the way I look at the structure, it is not equitable. So if you could do a comparison and have some discussion on that, I'd appreciate it as well in advance of the General Assembly meeting.
Will do.
Mr. Fox.
Is there a Maryland equivalent of our Charter Boat Association?
I believe there is. Yes, yes.
Could our Charter Boat Association talk with their peers in that? And
I have a feeling that discussion has been happening quite often.
Okay.
And now they've come to us for some help.
Okay. They're not getting anywhere.
Right.
Further comment on that? Bob, did you want to address the commission, sir?
If I could just.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jeff. Just briefly, I'm Bob Pride. I'm a member of the Virginia Charter Boat Association, and I helped craft this letter and was at the meeting when we discussed the issues. In fact, several meetings we discussed the issues. Let's try to segregate the license changes that we're talking about from the charter boat request, because they're two different things.
Absolutely.
Okay. The license change, I think this reciprocity issue with other states and what we pay other states for as individual fishermen needs to change. We need to charge out-of-state folks whatever they charge us to fish here, but that's another story completely. What the Charter Boat Association is concerned about is the inequity in the limited entry program that's in Maryland that prevents our fishermen from being able to go to Maryland as freely as they can come down here. So all we'd really like to see you do today is to say today is a control date. You know, go ahead and publish today as a control date, saying anybody that gets a Virginia Charter Boat license after this date may be subject to additional restrictions that don't exist today. You know, we've done that in other fisheries in the past.
Right.
We don't have to do anything. We all know that. But that puts everybody on notice and gives us some additional negotiating power with the people in Maryland.
Yeah, so we've got a basic known number to deal with when we start going to the bargaining table.
Exactly. And if you guys can do that and we go through these other processes, obviously making a change mid-year doesn't make any sense. We'd want to make the change on January 1st anyway.
Right.
So we've got the rest of the year to work through it. And I don't see any sense in being precipitous, but I also think we ought to, you know, mark our place and time here so that we've got a place to go if we need to.
I think that certainly satisfies the parameters of the emergency regulation law of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Is there a Any further discussion on Mr. Pride's request?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Explain it to me one more time so that I'll understand what we're accomplishing.
Want me to try?
Whatever, doesn't matter.
In other fisheries, like in the crab fishery, we publish a control date. And what that control date says is that anybody that buys a license in that fishery after that control date is subject to not having the same privileges in the future that the people that had one before that control date.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
And we don't have to do anything about it. In fact, there have been many control days published where we haven't done anything.
Right.
But there have been a few published where we made some pretty sweeping changes in the crab fisheries, the most recent example.
This identifies who would be grandfathered and who would not.
Exactly.
As of today.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just procedurally, I wonder if an emergency is necessary. I think we could, I would submit that we could move to advertise for a public hearing at the July meeting to establish a control date of June 24, 2008 for the Virginia charter boat license. And all that would do is preserve our options going forward. And I think that's what Bob's asking for, is that we put it on the table, we put it in place so that it preserves our options. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to take action on it in the future, but it would at least be something that we could utilize.
I think that's absolutely a more prudent way of doing it. Yep.
Yeah,
Chair will honor a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer that motion that we advertise for a public hearing at the July meeting to establish a control date for Virginia charter boat licenses of June 24, 2008.
Second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
It'll be done.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bob.